بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما، إنك على كل شيء قدير. أما بعد، الحمد لله. This is the penultimate lesson in Fada'il al-Quran, meaning it's the second to the last of the lessons we've been covering this month of Ramadan concerning the virtues of the Quran. And seeing as tonight we will be having the khatam of the Quran that has been recited in Salat al-Tarawih, we wanted to speak a little bit about the virtues of the khatam and some of the fiqh and etiquettes of the khatam, whether it is in Ramadan or any time outside of Ramadan done personally. So one of the virtues of the Quran concerns the virtue of doing multiple khatams of the Quran itself. And it's very common in so many or most of the masajid across the world where Taraweeh is being prayed, that either on the 27th or the 28th night, maybe the 29th night, at least there is the khatam of the Quran, where people come to listen to the completion of the Quran being recited and the dua that follows after it. And for this reason, we see that the imams of the qira'at, the imams of the canonical recitations of the Quran, have discussed the etiquettes, the adab, and virtuous actions that one should do in connection with doing a khatam of the Qur'an. So there are a number of things. And we start with the takbir. The takbir, when a person says Allahu Akbar. This is mentioned by the Imam of the Qurra, Al-Imam Ibn al-Jazari, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his work Taqrib al-Nashr. He says in this work on qira'ah, that this is the sunnah of takbir when completing the recitation of the Qur'an at all times. But it has spread and become widespread and is successively reported from them, the imams of qira'ah, that they recite the takbirat in between certain chapters. He says this has been received by people with widespread acceptance and has become the practice in all of the lands. So Imam Ibn al-Jazari is setting the stage for proving how the utterance of takbir, either before reciting Surah Duha or after reciting Surah Duha, and then after each chapter until the end, is not something people just made up sometime in the middle of Islamic history. There's actually a sanad, a chain going back to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this practice. So he cites a narration from Ikrimah ibn Sulayman, one of the great scholars of qira'ah, who said that he recited to his teacher, Sheikh Ismail ibn Abdullah al-Qustantini, and when he reached Surah al-Duha, the teacher said to him, say the takbir until you complete the Qur'an. Meaning, you recite Surah Duha, and then you recite the takbir. Allahu Akbar, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. And then you recite that chapter, and then you stop and say, Allahu Akbar, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and you keep reciting each chapter with that takbir. He says that his teacher told him to do this. And he said, because I recited to Imam Abdullah ibn Abi Kathir, one of the imams of qira'ah, and he said, say the takbir until you complete the Qur'an like this. And he told me that he recited the Qur'an to Mujahid, the student of Ibn Abbas, who told him to do exactly the same. And Mujahid said that his teacher, Ibn Abbas, told him to do the same. And Ibn Abbas said that he was told to do the same by his teacher, Ubay ibn Ka'b, who said the same. Ubay ibn Ka'b said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed him as such. So this athar shows you that the practice of uttering the takbir either before Surah Al-Duha or after Surah Al-Duha until you read each chapter till the end is an established practice going back to the time of the Sahaba and transmitted by the Imams of Qira'ah. Some of the narrations of the takbir add the tahleel of La ilaha illallah, and some add the tahmid of saying Alhamdulillah. So you'll find some of the khatams that are done, you'll hear the reciter get to Surah Duha, and then they'll say La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, and in the next chapter, the same thing. They'll say, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, like this. So if you ever hear a student doing his khatam, reading to his teacher, the teacher will tell him to do this. And sometimes the imams, when they're doing their khatam, they'll do this. And that practice goes right back to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim. That's one of the etiquettes. Another etiquette of doing the khatam of the Qur'an is to read the Fatiha and read the first part of Surah Al-Baqarah until you reach the word Muflihun. So the first page of Baqarah in our Masahif. So when you do the khatam, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, you don't just read Surah Nas and then close the Mus'haf or make your dua and you're done. You read Surah An-Nas and you go right back to Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah, to the first page up to Muflihun. And this is based on a hadith. There's a hadith that speaks about this somewhat ambiguously. This hadith is recorded by Imam At-Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, which act is superior? And he said, the one who dismounts and proceeds. So you picture a person on a camel. They're riding on the camel and they stop and get off, and then they keep walking. They don't just get off the camel and stand there. They get off the camel and they keep walking. He said, the superior action is the one who dismounts, then proceeds. And then he said, the one who reads from the beginning of the Qur'an to the end, wherever he dismounts, he proceeds. And from this, the ulama understood that reading the Qur'an from the beginning to the end should ideally involve reciting Surah Al-Fatiha again and the first page of Surah Al-Baqarah. And there's a symbolism in that, because the reality is that if a person aspires to be from Ahlul Qur'an, there really is no ultimate khatam. Meaning, you finish Surah An-Nas and you start all the way over again from Surah Al-Baqarah. And then you continue. And then when you finish that one, you start all the way over again. You keep going. So by reciting Al-Fatiha and the first part of Surah Al-Baqarah, we're reminded that our relationship with the Qur'an is not a relationship that stops, that has an end point where you can say, okay, I'm done, I can put it away, and it's over. No, it always starts again and again and again. It's not a shallow ritual, but it's a symbolic expression of our intention to be consistent with going back to the Qur'an. So we talked about the takbir and reading again from Al-Fatiha to the first page of Surah Al-Baqarah. Another practice with the khatam of the Qur'an concerns the best time for doing it. What is the best time for doing the khatam of the Qur'an? Maybe you started in the morning time. Maybe you started in the afternoon or the evening. But is there an ideal time to finish your reading of the Qur'an? The answer is yes. There's an ideal time. And it is either to do it in finish it in the daytime, the early daytime, or finish it in the early evening. These are the two ideal times. And the reason why these are the two ideal times is because of a hadith recorded by Imam Ad-Darimi from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas narrates that if a person completes a recitation of the Qur'an in the beginning of the night, the angels make dua for that person until the morning. And if they complete it in the beginning of the day, the angels make dua for that person until the night. So if you're reciting it late into the night, it's good, But you're not getting the full extent of the dua going all through the night. If you finish it in the early part of the night, you have the rest of that night receiving dua from the angels. If you finish it in the early part of the day, you have the rest of the day to have the dua of the angels. That's why these are the two ideal times if a person has a choice. Now, just as there's virtues connected with the takbir and with reading Al-Fatiha and the first part of Baqarah and choosing the right time, there's also a virtue in just being present. Even if it's not your khatam per se, just being present when a khatam is done, that itself is a virtuous action. According to Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, who says in At-Tibyan, it's recommended to attend the gathering of the khatam, for Imam Ad-Darimi and Ibn Abi Dawood both transmit that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma would appoint someone to go in the masjid and observe, look around and see who is about to do their khatam. So if they hear someone reciting Juz Amma, okay, he's about to do the khatam. So Ibn Abbas actually appointed someone to look out for those people in the masjid. And if he saw someone in those latter shorter surahs, he would go back to Ibn Abbas and tell him, and Ibn Abbas would come out and attend the khatam just to be present when the person finishes the Quran. This was the practice of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas. Imam al-Tabarani also transmits that when Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu would complete his recitation of the Quran, he would call his family and children to be present. Why? Because it is a time of dua. It's a time when dua is mustajab, when dua is answered. So he would call his family, call his children to attend when he does that complete recitation of the Quran. So by coming here tonight, right, there's tarawih, of course, but there's the added virtue of being present when the Quran is finished, a time when dua is accepted, a time when there's blessings, there's barakat and rahmat descending. And lastly, concerning the virtues of the khatam, we know about the virtue of concluding with a dua. Concluding with a dua. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah mentions in the Tibyan, it is recommended, mustahab, to make dua after the khatam. Imam Ad-Darimi narrates from Humayd ibn al-A'raj, who said, whoever recites the Quran completely and then supplicates, 4,000 angels say Ameen upon their dua. And according to Imam al-Tabarani, in one narration, the hadith says, whoever completes the Quran has a dua mustajab, and a dua that is answered. Now, when you look in the early tradition, you find there are lots of different du'as recorded in the books. Du'as specific for Khatmul Qur'an. Many of these are ascribed as hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but all of them are da'if. That is, from a sanad standpoint, from a standpoint of the chain of narration, they're all weak. However, they are still reproduced, they are still used, because they contain beautiful meanings. And it was the way of the early generations that they would gather their family and friends for the khatam and for the dua, acting on these general virtues. So Imam Ad-Daylami, for instance, he records a weak hadith in which it is said that, you know, it's a long dua, but in the first part, the hadith says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say in a dua after completing the Quran, O Allah, grant me comfort in my loneliness in the grave. But it's a weak hadith, but it's a part of this longer dua of Khatm al-Quran. Sometimes that dua is found at the end of certain masahif. Depending on where the mushaf is printed, you'll sometimes find this long dua of Khatm al-Quran. And people ask, well, is it permissible to use that dua? Of course you can. Although it's not a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a dua among several du'as that have been received with general acceptance by their ulama across history. And one can use that dua, or they can make any dua that comes to their own heart. Oftentimes people are looking for some dua to read, when actually the best dua is whatever comes to their heart in the moment. Because, you know, the way of the early generations was not to be really excessive in the dua. You know, sometimes people, when they do the khatam, they have a dua that's, you know, one imam had a dua that was 45 minutes long. And everything is rhyming, using fancy words. Yeah, fihi takalluf shadid. There's a lot of going beyond the bounds. But you look at the way of the early Muslims, it is mentioned, for example, from some of the early imams, that they would do the khatam dua and say, "Oh Allah, accept from us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, you know our needs, fulfill them. Oh Allah, pardon us. Ameen." And then they could go into sajda. Very simple, but that's coming from the heart. And people were crying from that dua because the heart that made the dua was very sincere. So whether it's a recorded dua that you're reading or dua that comes from the heart, is a virtuous thing to do when the khatam is done. Ultimately, we don't limit ourselves to any particular dua. Anything from the heart at the time of the khatam is good. So this is what concerns the virtues of doing the khatam al-Qur'an, of attending it, and things like that. Whether it's something you witness in the Taraweeh, or something you take with you when you're doing your own khatam at home, these are general virtues to be aware of. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.